So we just want the Lord to speak to us. I got a few things that I just want to talk to you about. Last week, I forgot, people have been asking me all week how Elizabeth's dad is, and he's doing well. So that's kind of late news, but you can continue to pray for his recovery. That's a long recovery. Rich Johnson had gone through similar surgery just a while back, and it's a long, painful recovery. So we want to keep them continued, lifted up in prayer. And then also, Jeff and Elizabeth, they will be back this week. They'll be traveling back to Grand Junction. And so just wanted to encourage you to pray for them. Pray that the Lord will strengthen, that he will guide and direct them in their relationship with him, and then also for the relationship that we have with them as the body of Christ here at Calvary Chapel Grand Junction. So just we need to be praying for them. And then also I just wanted to reiterate that Susie's going to be going back to Haiti, so we need to pray for her. And there are some needs that she has. I think there was a on the prayer chain, some of those needs were posted on the prayer chain, and many of you probably got that. If you would like to be a part of what she's doing there, you can see her, and you can help out in one of those areas that was listed there, some of the physical needs that she was looking for to take down there to the kids. So just wanted to encourage you in that. And then also, I just wanted to thank Bill and Gene and Terry for their being here this weekend to help us put on the Epicenter Conference with Joel Rosenberg. It was really a blessing. And you can actually buy the DVDs for that conference if you'd like on his site, Epicenter. If you just type in Epicenter, you can probably get on his site real easy, Joel Rosenberg. It was really a great conference, and there were a lot of really neat things that were shared, and I'm going to refer to that a little bit in my message this morning because it comes at a time, or I just think it's a great demonstration of what God does through the body of Christ. So we'll look at that this morning, but let's open up in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence here in this room. This is a building, and it's four walls around us. There's paint on the walls and just all kinds of physical things that construct that building. And yet we know that that's not really where the power is at in what we do here this morning and why we are in this place. Lord, it really truly is about your body and about what you are doing in the midst of who we are, your people. And so, Lord, we pray that as you are in the midst here and you are in our hearts and in our lives, we pray for that measure of humility, surrender to you, Lord, that you be able to speak into our lives and that you would be able to pour forth your joy, your love, your gifting, your presence through who we are, your body. And we thank you so much. And we worship you and glorify you, Lord, because you are the supreme ruler. And Lord, we surrender ourselves to you, and we just want to hear your voice this morning. So we submit ourselves to you, and we thank you that you do speak. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, last week we were in John 17, kind of a Father's Day message. Well, this morning I'm going to continue in that. We talked really about the individual role that and relationship that God has and desires with us in the oneness of being drawn to him and drawn to the Father through Jesus Christ. And there's this oneness, this relationship that we develop individually with the Lord. But really, as you look at these verses that we were talking about in John 17, verse 20, I'm going to read down through several of these real quick just to reiterate this idea. But there's another idea behind that. We can look at it individually, but we also want to look at it in a corporate sense. Here we are gathered together because, you know what, really, frankly, the church is being attacked in a lot of different ways and from a lot of different angles right now in our country. And even individually in our hearts and our lives, I believe that the enemy wants to bring distraction and he wants to pull us away from the power that we have corporately together. You, me, all of us together as his body. There is something special that happens as we have unity in Christ. And that's kind of, if you don't get anything out of what I tell you, I hope that you will get that out, that there is unity in the body of Christ, and there is power in displaying the glory of God through the unity of the body of Christ. Now, verse 20 says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That is us, through the gospel that was delivered to the apostles, the life that they observed in Jesus. First John talks about that life, that they had touched him, that they had seen him, and they declared it. They delivered it, declared it to us. He's praying for us that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Do you notice in this section here that he is praying for us that we would come into this unity with him? But look at in verse 21, it says that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in them, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. There's a purpose involved in what we're doing here. That we are encouraged, that we are built up, that we are one in unity. That we are one in the way that we reflect him to the world. That they may know, and there's a very specific reason there, that they may know that you, Jesus is saying, that the world may know that you sent me. So we become, corporately, we become a witness of what Jesus, what the Father has done through Jesus in sending his Son into this world. There is a oneness here that is so special that we may know and we may deliver the message that the Father has for us. Verse 22 goes on to say that, and 23, there are a couple other instances there that talking about they, it's us corporately together, that we may be perfect in one. Look at that in verse 23, that there is this perfection that comes as we are drawn together in unity in the Father, in Jesus Christ. I was reminded, as I was thinking about this morning, I was reminded of some of the National Geographics that I've seen. You know, they have great photography of how the animals, there's protection in the herd, isn't there? As they're out on the plains, you know, one of the ones that I remember seeing a lion or a cheetah, you know, those big cats running through, they're sneaking up through the savannah, through the plains. And they're looking for that one weak person in that herd, or not person, hopefully not a person, that one weak animal in the herd. And they'll be sneaking along. And that herd stays in a group, doesn't it? And it doesn't want to get far away from that herd, because once it does, once it gets far away from that herd, it's in danger. There's all kinds of things out there. And we enjoy that kind of a National Geographic program, watching that animal sneak up, and it's exciting. You know what? We need to relate that to the body of Christ, because we're a flock, we're a herd. And when we get segregated from one another, and when we get isolated from one another, there's a lot of things out there that can really destroy, distract, and take us away from that oneness and from the purpose that we have in Christ and that we have as the body of Christ here in this place. And so we need to be very careful. You know what? That is one of the major devices of the enemy. That he would separate us and isolate us so that we feel like we're all by ourselves. Have you been in that place of isolation or separation? You feel like you don't have fellowship. You feel like nobody understands where you're at or what you're going through. Yeah, maybe there has been some struggle that is going on in your life that you feel like there's something that, a sinful thought or a sinful attitude, or maybe you've acted out in a sinful way, and all of a sudden you feel isolated from the body of Christ. You know that's a ploy of the enemy. You know it's a distraction to pull you out of fellowship, to pull you out of the effectiveness of working the work of the ministry of the body of Christ. And so we need to be very, very careful. There's all kinds of things. You know what? I think, and it's interesting that this happened today, but it happens probably all the time. A lot of times I'm leading worship, so I don't see what's happening behind me on the screen. But you saw that, didn't you? The lamp needs to be replaced. The bulb in that thing's going out. And, you know, it's set on a timer. It counts down the hours that have gone by, and then it flashes up this warning, and it happens to be in the middle of our service. In the middle of a powerful song. You know, the enemy comes in all kinds of different ways, and I'm not looking for a demon behind anything, but you know what, or behind everything. I'm not looking for that, or, you know, but you know, that small little distraction. What did you think? Your mind starts going just naturally. Just no. It's not bad. It's just the way we go, isn't it? We can be distracted by such little things. And that's the point. We can be distracted by little things in our lives. And I think especially in our times of worship where we are lifting up our voices to the Lord, sometimes we have misspelled words up there. How often have you been distracted by something like that? Or the wrong lyrics that go up there and all of a sudden you're off on a tangent thinking about something else. Oftentimes that happens. And I'm just sharing with you a little bit out of my mind. That's what was going on in my mind. But I want you to alert you to, we are not to be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. That is one of the devices of the enemy. And if we are not in that relationship with the Lord, personally, individually, it displays itself as we come together and all of a sudden we're completely distracted and we're wondering, why am I even here this morning? Why did I even come? This is just filling time. So in our corporate gathering, we need to be careful. There is a device of the enemy there are a lot of devices of the enemy, but one specifically that I would like to go to right now is we're looked in Hebrews chapter 10. We see this exhortation that we have to enter in. And here we are, I talked about it last week, that John 17 has been referred to as the holiest place because it draws us in to the presence and to the glory of the Lord. It shows us a picture of our own individual relationship with Jesus Christ, but also corporately our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, as we look at how the writer of Hebrews, he goes through this personal relationship that we have with the Lord, but then he ends in the idea of the corporateness of what Christ has done for us. Verse 19 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus." And I would challenge you to say, hey, enter into John 17, the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's how we enter in to the oneness with the Father, is through this relationship through Jesus Christ, his Son, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Now, this is very, very individual, isn't it? It's very personal to us. This is what God wants to do, drawing us in to the high priestly relationship that Jesus has over us, over the house of God. Let us draw near. Let us come in with a heart of full assurance that we have been sprinkled, forgiven of our guilt, our shame. That evilness is gone. It's sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, and our bodies are washed. And we're ready to stand before him, undefiled before our God. But it doesn't stop there. It says in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast that confession of hope without wavering, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. See, the enemy wants to rip us off. The enemy wants to pull us out of this place of really individually having relationship with the Lord, but then that manifesting itself here in the ways that we love one another, in the ways that we speak, the gifting that God has given to each one of you. And if he can distract us in our own personal lives, then he can distract us corporately from really expressing all that God wants to express through who we are. Who we are, Calvary Chapel, Grand Junction. Who you are, as he's given you a personal ministry. The enemy wants to distract. He wants to pull away. But we are not to be ignorant of that. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And that's my purpose this morning. That's all I want to do, really, is use the gifts and the talents that God has given me to stir up the body to love and to good works. And that we would not forsake this time and just, you know, we need to be praying. When we gather together, we should pray that the Lord would move in our midst, that our worship would be full and alive and true, humble, special to the Lord. It rises like incense to the throne room of God. The Holy Spirit speaks through his word. It's living and powerful. It's active. It's able to give us discernment for our daily lives. We need to pray that this time, as we are gathered together, that the Lord would be able to do an awesome work through all that is planned here. For the Sunday school, that it will be alive, that those teachers will be able to communicate with humility, with love to our children, knowing that they are the next generation of this church, Calvary Chapel Grand Junction, or other churches around. That the Lord would do a mighty work. And you know what? I wouldn't even stop there. You know what? Sunday morning, there are all kinds of churches that are gathered in this valley. All kinds of churches. You know what? We need to be praying that the Lord would pour out his heart all over this valley in the body of Christ. That we would be attentive to his voice, that leaders around the valley would hear what he is saying to the church, his body. We're one faction of that, as we're going to see here in a second. We are one faction of that, displaying the manifold wisdom of God. God certainly wants to pour through each one of us in a unique way. But corporately, he wants to pour through you. He wants to pour through me. He wants to pour through us as we're gathered together. So not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. And I don't think that that just means, you know, that you need to be in church. I don't think that's necessarily all that is there. There's more behind that, because I can show up here and I'm a long ways away. There's fellowship involved. There is drawing near to one another. There is giving out of our gifts and our talents. There is prayerful thoughts. You know, while we're on vacation praying for our brothers and sisters here, you know, we are still with our brothers and sisters. We are tied together. We are in unity. We are like a body. Christ is the head. We're the fingers, the hands, the feet, and he is moving through us. I think that's really exciting. I think that's awesome that God would choose me and you to move through in an amazing way to affect the world around us. Now, one of the, I think, as I was saying, one of the things that we can really get caught up in and really becomes a device of the enemy is our unwillingness to forgive one another. And obviously, forgiveness needs to start personally in our hearts and in our lives individually. But you know what? There is a forgiveness that we have here in the midst of the body. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians and we're going to see that this is one of the devices of the enemy that he uses very much, I think, in the church to bring division, to bring discontentment and dissension in our hearts and our lives with one another. You know, we are not to be separated and isolated. And forgiveness is something that draws us together so that we're not a straggler out on the edges. But there is forgiveness that God has given us. And in Matthew 6, Matthew 18, we see that, I mean, Jesus makes some very, very strong statements about forgiveness, doesn't he? That if we are not willing to walk in forgiveness ourselves, that we will not be forgiven. That's a very bold and strong statement that we need to take seriously and prayerfully in our own lives. We are to be forgiving. No matter what the situation is, no matter what somebody does against us, we are to be forgiving. This section of scripture in chapter 2, and we'll start reading in verse 3, but I just want you to have the context, so I'm going to read through it. But really, this whole drama or this whole situation that was in the church of Corinth started in 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul brings up the sinful brother who is sinning against the church. And the church had the attitude of, hey, we're just being gracious. We are just going to bear with this guy. It doesn't matter what he's done. We look how gracious we are and how wonderful we are. The interesting thing is Paul says, no, take this sinning brother out. Let him go out into the world. And, you know, if he truly is the Lord's, then he will be drawn back in. Well, that comes to pass. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul has to come back to the church and say, hey, you guys, forgive this guy. Forgive him. Yeah, he was sinning. But you know what? He repented. So come back. Forgive him. Allow him fellowship. Extend to him fellowship. You know what? And I think, you know what? You might not have been doing what this man was doing in your life. But there are times when we get crossways with one another, isn't there? Oftentimes we get crossways as Christians. And we're wondering, hey, what's going on? How did that relationship get so, you know, distracted, off course? How did we get so hurt? How did I get to be in this place where I feel isolated, where I feel like I don't have fellowship? Well, look at what it says here. This is what Paul is encouraging this church and this body. And I wrote this very thing to you, talking about the way that he was going to discipline and the discipline that needed to happen in the church. I wrote this to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of all of you. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears. Not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. Very important that we see this whole heart of Paul. In the midst of this dealing with the sinful brother, there was a heart of love. He didn't want to confront the church. He didn't want to tell them these things, but out of the truth and out of the love that was in his heart for them, he needed to communicate these things as the Lord had laid it on his heart. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent. Not to be too severe, this punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. So there was discipline that happened. There was punishment that happened. But it was good for that man, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end, I also wrote that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Do you see there? This attitude that was in the church, they did the right thing, but then the man repents, and all of a sudden they're in a place where they need to forgive this guy, and they're struggling with that. And Paul makes this point at the end, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. In our lives, we need to be aware of this principle in our lives, that we need to be forgiving to one another. Now, there's two ways that sometimes we go in this, because it's hard, isn't it? Confrontation is difficult with one another. It can lead to difficult, hard feelings. It can lead to a passionate conversation. It can lead to opinions and things like that, which we kind of want to push off. But you know what? Confrontation ultimately is really good as we confront one another and as we are spirit-led in our confrontation, because it brings a decision in our hearts. It brings a decision in my heart as one maybe that might be confronting someone. Am I in the Word of God? Am I in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit to bring this about? And if I'm truly humble, then I'm seeking and asking the Lord, hey, Lord, give me the strength to do this. I know that this is true. I know that I need to take care of this because there is a problem. You know, often families, I'll just let you know, my mom and dad, they fought like cats and dogs. It was all out in the open. They went in their room and they shut the door, but that door didn't have any power to silence what they were doing in there. They argued, man, they fought. Bitterness, all kinds of stuff came out. And oftentimes in that situation, I was really afraid, sad. I mean, all kinds of emotions in my heart as a kid. I remember that. But one of the things that I said, I'm never going to yell at my wife. That was a good thing that came out of that. Some people emulate, you know, what goes on in their parents' lives, and some people don't, and they go 180, you know, away from that. Well, that in that case, that was a good 180 away from that. And I'm sure Brenda will be happy about that too. But you know what? Out of that, I learned, you know, of my wife's family was totally different. And maybe you can identify with this. They would hide things under the rug. Push it under the rug. You know, all of these different little situations that are coming up, nobody ever blew up. Nobody really had a problem. You know, everything's okay. But you know what? It led to a shallowness of their relationships in some ways. You know, here they are sitting around, you know, their life, and they're doing their life things. And there's this huge rug with a whole mound of junk underneath it. You know, nobody can see anybody. And you can't really have a real true relationship because of all this junk that's never been dealt with. So in confrontation, there can be really good things that come out of that, but we have to be motivated by the Spirit of God. We can't just shove things under the rug, but yet we can't just come off and just yell and scream at one another. There is this place, and I think that it comes from our own individual oneness with the Lord, where we are able to deal with these issues in the body of Christ. And we need to. There's maturity in that. When we can say to one another truthfully and transparently, you know what? I got a problem here. We need to be in a place where we're surrendered enough to the Lord to say, you know what? The enemy's really got a foothold in my heart right now about this thing. You know what? Actually, that happened this morning with me and a brother here. I'll just, with David, I had some thoughts that were in my mind that weren't quite right. And it was the enemy trying to get a foothold in my life for this morning so that I would be distracted by that issue. You know what? We need to be in a place where we're open to the Lord to be able to discuss those things transparently with one another so that that love, which really is the glory of the Lord coming up through our hearts and our lives, would be expressed not just in our individual lives, but in our corporate fellowship one with another. That's why this is so important for us. We cannot let the enemy have a foothold in our hearts in this way. There's a spiritual maturity about going to someone and saying, you know, brother, this just is really on my heart. You know, I love you. I desire to grow close with you and have fellowship with you. And in the power of the Spirit confronting these things and allowing the Spirit of God to give within our hearts this forgiveness, this attitude that cuts off bitterness. And that's what Hebrew talks about, the root of bitterness that comes in to our hearts and our lives. And it spreads through the body of Christ. Like a disease, it spreads in dissension, in dissatisfaction. And it comes out, if we're not close to the Lord and if we're not in personal relationship with Him, it can come out in all kinds of different ways and manifest itself in all kinds of different ways. I believe in our marriages, in our kids, in the way that we relate to one another, all kinds of ways. So we have to be very, very careful, and we cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices against us. Now, another passage of scripture that I just wanted to go to from there is Ephesians chapter 3. A while back, I did some teaching through Ephesians chapter 4, which talks about the body of Christ. But really, what we are talking about is our corporate relationship together. And you know what? It really, truly is a mystery. I mean, can you believe the people that you're sitting next to? Oftentimes, I wonder about that when I'm here at this place and I'm talking to people and I'm seeing how different we are, how different our form of life is, how, you know, our families may be different or our experience may be different. We all have different testimonies. We all have different ways that the Lord has brought us to the Lord. There are different ways that we communicate, that we receive from the Lord. There's all kinds of these differences that we have as the body. And it is a mystery what God has done in this room with you, with me. And here we are at this place. And that's where, you know, the epicenter was really awesome in talking about that, because they talked about the new man that God is bringing together in Israel. They had a pastor on there that is a pastor in Jerusalem. And within his church, he's from the States, but within his church, he has Jewish believers. And this is the amazing thing. He has Arab believers too in his church. That is amazing. In this hotbed of our political state and the geopolitical climate of our world, that there would be actually Jews and Arabs fellowshipping one with another in a church. That is an awesome display of how God displays his glory through his people. Amazing. And that's what Paul is talking about here in chapter 3. For this reason, in verse 1, it says, "For this reason, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which was given to me for you." And that word dispensation means a stewardship or over the household. He's given him ministry over a household. And I like that, because that's what we are as the body of Christ, a household of believers. Our Father, God the Father, the Son, Jesus, they're one. And here we are, his children, dwelling together. So here Paul is saying, hey, I've been given this stewardship. I've been given this ministry of the grace of God, which has been given to me for you. Notice that it wasn't for himself or for his own glory. And that's the amazing thing about Paul, is he always recognized that God was not working through him for his glory. And I think that Jesus demonstrated that too in John 17. It was for the Father's glory. It was for God's glory. So verse 3 says, "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written ahead." by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. We're fascinated with mysteries, aren't we? We can become that way. Mystery novels or mystery, a good plot in a movie or something like that. It has some element of mystery to it. And you know what? The body of Christ is no different. There is an element of mystery involved in what God is doing within your life and my life. And Paul is saying, hey, you guys, look up this. And it was concealed in a major way, this mystery for sure. But Paul was the one who really released and had this revelation of really what this mystery was all about. In verse 5, it says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And you know what? I would stop right there and I would pray, Lord, help us by the power of your Spirit to understand this mystery. Because that's what we're talking about this morning. This mystery of the body of Christ. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. He says, hey, the mystery has been revealed that the Gentiles are fellow heirs. That's you and me. We are fellow heirs with the Jews, with the promised ones, of this oneness relationship that the Father has desired with his people, with his creation. Verse 8 says, to me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. He makes known this fellowship of the mystery. From the beginning of the ages, it was hidden. And yet now it is manifest right now in our presence. We are a manifestation of what God from the beginning of ages was wanting to declare and how he's wanting to show his glory to the world through us, his people, his church, his called out ones. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers of the heavenly places. You know what I said? We're all different, aren't we? We are all different. Romans talks about that as, you know, in several places, Paul talks about how we are a body and we're not all tongues. We're not all mouths. We're not all fingers. We're not all toes. You know, we're not all legs. We all have a purpose within the body. But it's interesting that he uses this idea of the manifold wisdom of God. We are declaring the manifold wisdom of God. Us gathered here together, we are declaring the manifold wisdom of God. Manifold, that is a faceted. If you've seen a diamond, all the cuts on it, it reflects the light in all kinds of different ways. And you know what? That is the body of Christ, reflecting the glory of God in all kinds of different ways, in all kinds of different situations, in all kinds of different places. The manifold wisdom of God is being declared through us, this body together. That's glorious and awesome. We think diamonds are great. A woman's best friend or whatever. You probably all have one on your finger. We get really excited about that kind of stuff. I think that we need that kind of excitement in the body of Christ as we are ministering with one another. The gifts and the talents that he's given to each one of us. It's exciting to see how he reflects himself through who we are. And it's according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So Paul is saying, hey, this boldness, and we read about that there in Hebrews, in that passage there, that we are to come boldly into the holiest of all. And receive. I just think that it's interesting the way that this concept of individual relationship with God is weaved into the corporate relationship with God. But also what is weaved into this is this idea that we are one and that we have access with boldness into that relationship with him, into the holiest of all, that holiest place. Now, as we think about this mystery, and as we think about the body of Christ and the church and how wonderful it is, Paul then goes on, and I think that this is really I want to share this with you, but not in knowledge or not in, you know, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to communicate this. You know, Paul was amazed at the awesome plan and wisdom of God. But his prayer is here. And I love that, because not only he knew that it wasn't just about knowledge and understanding these things, but it's about an outflow of our hearts. And that's really what I desire to see. And that's the only reason that I'm here, because I want to see that outflow within our body. I want to see that outflow within you guys, as you are special before the Lord, as we are here gathered together, as we take on this valley in, you know, spiritually, as we are called to live here. It's more than just raising our friends and going to work and supplying a life for ourselves. It's so much more than that. And I can't make that knowledge sink into our hearts. And I think that Paul was at this place with the believers here in Ephesus. He was saying, hey, you guys have all these things going on. You know, this is what the body of Christ is. Now he prays for them that it would come into their hearts, into their lives, out through their giftings and their talents. And look what he says here in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory. We talked about that last week, the riches of his glory, that he would put that on us. Let me just remind you, in chapter 17 of John, in verse 21, it says that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Paul is saying here that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. It's not through our knowledge that we're strengthened, but it's through his Spirit that we are strengthened deep within who we are. 2 Corinthians talks about that new creation. We are not just this, you know, plastic person walking through life that adopts these different, you know, ways or modes of life. No, it's a regeneration. It is a new creation that is spilling out. We are the body of Christ because of the new work that has happened within us. So it just spills out of who we are. It's not something that we have to work up or make happen. But through the Spirit of God coming out of the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. There is an awesome truth in what Paul is praying here for us, that we would come into this place of unity, that we would be displaying that glory according to his power that is working within each and every one of us. And so we see this kind of this circular path that we're on here in displaying God's glory. Sure, it is working in us individually and it works out corporately, but it can only work out corporately if it's been worked into us individually. And we are only going to be fulfilled in our individual purposes in life and ministry of the Spirit if we are working it out corporately. Do you see that circular motion in our lives? You can't have one without the other. The same as, and again, going back to marriage, that's the same thing in marriage. You can't have a submitted wife if there's not love from a husband. You cannot have a loving husband if there's not a submitted, respectful heart in a wife. It's a circular motion that happens in our lives as we personally take on these things and allow God to change us individually, and then corporately we are changed. And you know what? I'll tell you what. Each time that I teach, I'm changed. I think each time that you use your gift and your talent that God has given you in this context, you are changed by what God does through you. You are not the same person because you experience who he is. And I know that you guys have experienced that in your life because there are so many of you that serve the Lord in various ways in this body. You are changed from glory to glory as you serve and as you manifest the Lord through your life, through your giving, through your humility. And I think a great example of that is Royal's funeral, with a lot of people coming together and loving the Collard family and bringing food in very practical ways, ministering to one another. There are those of you who have been touched by a meals ministry that the church has done, simply cooking a meal and bringing it to somebody in the time of need. That is a very practical way of expressing the manifold wisdom of God. And I think that as we as a body mature and grow, that needs to be out into the world so that they would see that Jesus really is the one whom the Father has sent. It's expressed through us. You know, as Susie goes to Haiti, we have that's what missions is all about. We may not go. You may not feel called to go anywhere. You may not feel called. You may you may not even want to go some of these places. But you have gifting. You have resource. You have something that the Lord has blessed you that you can touch someone in a third world country, in Haiti, in India. All over the world, we have that ability from this body, from our corporate fellowship, to touch people in another land. That's amazing. That is the manifold wisdom of God being displayed through who you are and who I am. We are changed by that. We are drawn into a deeper relationship with the Lord and a deeper relationship and effective relationship with one another. And that is really exciting. That is really exciting as we shine in this valley, in this place that God has planted us. So it's I love how Paul closes this, because it's not about us. It's not about our building. It's not about who we think that we are, but it is all about the glory that God would display in verse 21 there of Ephesians, that he would display in his church the glory to all generations forever and ever. You know, if we had time, we could go through the next chapter, which even makes that even more of a point of the oneness and the unity that we have in Christ as the body of Christ. So I would encourage you, you know, to prayerfully ask the Lord, have the Lord show you how this is manifest in your life, how you can manifest the manifold wisdom of God in your life, in your family, in this body here that God has called you to. I have one more just verse. You know what? No, we're going to stop right there. I'm going to pray, And I'll share that with you after we worship the Lord together. Lord, we just thank you for this time together. Lord, you are working within our hearts. Your Spirit is here in this place. And as you are, as you have challenged me in my heart, in my life, in my ministry and the work of ministry that you have given for me to walk in, Lord, there is this sense of, wow, how can you use, how can you even do anything through my life, through my heart, through my hands, my feet? And oftentimes there's questions of, really, Lord? Is there anything good coming out of who I am? Look at my kids, I look at my family, I look at the situations that I'm in, and I think, really, Lord, is there anything really good that comes out? And in those times I see, Lord, that you, that I need to be very wary and very watchful, because the enemy is right behind those thoughts, wanting to isolate, separate, and pull me away from what you desire to do. And so, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today, because I know that I am not isolated and separated in that thought. But even within the church, within our corporate fellowship, we have those ideas individually. Lord, help us not to be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. But Lord, help us to run to you freely, because we've seen that in John 17, that your desire is for us to be one with you, to be in this close, intimate fellowship where you are pouring through who we are, so that your glory is displayed in our midst here during the week as we pray for one another and we get the prayer list on our computers, that we would lift one another up with joy in our hearts for one another, that we would rejoice when we're blessed as a body, that we would mourn when the body is hurting, and knowing that those things are powerful displays of your working among us, and that ultimately your wisdom and your grace, your manifold wisdom and grace, is poured out through who we are. And what a joy it is to be involved in that. And what purpose that brings to our heart. And what hope it brings to our week as we are going through the different things that we do practically for our families, for the people around us. The hope that it brings into all of those things that so often can sometimes just be hard for us to go through. Lord, we just pray for that eternal perspective and just the heart of your love and grace pouring out through who we are. And so, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray that we would be growing into that perfected man, fully furnished, fully ready to do the work of the ministry that you've called us to. And I thank you for each one that's here this morning. Lord, what a blessing it is to serve side by side and to love one another. And we pray that you would just be glorified in our midst, and especially as we worship and sing this song together, Lord, may you pour out through who we are. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, would you stand with us as we worship the Lord together in this song?